We'll get back into the midday show. Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Can I real quick, before we get to the NFL No Huddle, can we get a fit check, Randy?
All right, dude,
a little bit better?
Hey, dog, you came in here with a wrinkled-ass baby blue shirt on yesterday, man. It's hard to go worse than that, dog. But you all, right. But you all good today,
I'll tell
man.
You what.
You all good.
I showed some growth, though, because I picked out a different shirt this morning, and I looked at it. I was like, man, this one's got wrinkles, too.
Yeah.
So I put that one back in.
I mean, don't let me begrudge you from wearing what you need to wear, man. I mean, it is what it
yesterday
is.
Yesterday was admittedly bad.
That was pretty. That was like worse than you wearing your Peachtree Road Race shirts on a random day. You know, it was just bad because I don't know too many people wearing. But
I saw people this morning wearing a Peachtree shirt. They were running.
Yeah, but you don't run. You just walk in here. But my wife is texting me. It's Amazon Prime Day.
There's two double days.
Okay, and she actually got me something, Abe.
Oh boy.
Well, it seems like it's something for us, but she said it's mine. Bought me a new book bag that holds.
Did you almost say beer bong?
Beer book bag. That's what she said.
She said a cooler backpack.
Yeah, she said she bought me a cooler book bag. So
please stop saying book bag.
I say what I want, so I call it a book
cooler
bag.
I call it a book bag.
You say backpack, I call it a book bag. I've always called it a book bag, and I'm not going to change for you or her.
Well, when I put books in it, but when I put beer in it. Well,
I put beer in a backpack. I put my beer in there, too, so I call it what I want to call it, book bag. But it's pretty nice, though. It's a Georgia book bag that holds beer. So I'm winning right now. But are you a big participant in Prime Day?
Yeah, I'm just an online shopper in general. Yeah. But
what was them damn boxes you used to get?
Oh, the box of crap.
The box of crap. What's
I
it called?
Still get those.
What's it called again?
One of them's called a box of crap.
That's what it's actually called?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The other one's called an instant regret kit.
Instant regret kit. And you just do that on purpose.
Yeah, man. Okay. I got a robot vacuum on the last one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How's your dog feel about it? My dog, they hate it. You haven't used it yet? Oh.
No.
She's not gonna like it.
No, I gotta wait 3 years or four till she's gone.
No, she's not gonna learn. The dogs do not like them things.
Here's the thing, though. In 3 or 4 years, and for those wondering, I have a husky. She's a little bit older. She's 11 and a half now. And whenever she does pass 3 or 4 years, hopefully, I won't even need the robot vacuum anymore.
Because you won't have a dog.
I won't have any hair all over the house. I do have cleaners coming tomorrow.
You balling, huh? You got people to come clean your apartment.
They do a great job. They're not that expensive. I have a relatively small place, right? I'm
exactly, and you hire people to clean it?
Well, there's dog hair everywhere.
But that's what... Wow. I don't have nobody come clean my house, Abe. I clean my own house. Well, we clean the house.
I was going to say something degrading.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Yeah,
that.
We clean our house. Yeah, but Abe, you got a maid service, huh?
Yeah. They're very affordable. Once a month.
You clean your house once a month, Abe?
No, they come once a month. I clean between visits.
I'm just asking. Okay. I'm like,
they get the other clean.
Okay, well, there you go.
There's still dog hair everywhere. There's just no way around it.
Oh, yeah, this is the new thing, because, like, the dog hair is, like, he rolls all on the floor. I was like, I just vacuumed there. Like, I find myself vacuuming every single day.
So do you have, like, a full-size floor vacuum, or you have one of them little handhelds you follow him around with?
We have a full-size thing, but she went, and I swear to you, Abe, on everything, she went and bought a hair sucker.
Okay.
A fur sucker. Whatever that is,
like, for directly on the dog or for like the couch and carpet?
No, it's like in the kitchen. It's a fan looking thing. It's on the floor, and you push a button and you swoop the dog hair in it, and it goes. Whoop!
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's the bit they have at the haircut spot. Well, the cheap ones that I go to.
Yeah.
That's why I can afford the cleaners. I go to them cheap haircut spots.
Yeah, man. But it's crazy.
I got the trimmers in one of my bags of crap, and so now I may not have to go to the haircut spot anymore.
Yeah, we might as well. Another day, another damn bulldog arrested. You were talking about it and everything. And there's more information coming out as far as what he did and now his rebuttal to his lawyer and everything. And so we'll see how this goes and how it plays out. But still, another Georgia bulldog arrested up there in Athens, 4 o'clock in the morning. What the hell are you doing at 4 o'clock in the morning on a weekday? But still, if this is true, then he can't play no more. He can't play for Georgia anymore.
Well, I'm trying to get a lot more details because it's very, from what I read, there's just not much out there. And it feels like there's a wide range of how serious this could be.
Yes.
And I'm not suggesting the crime that he's been charged with isn't serious, but I think sometimes there are crimes that you get charged with and, like, in reality, we're like, all right, it's not really that big of a deal, that bad.
But you see the headline of what it is.
Right.
And then that's what puts you in like, oh, hell no, he got to go.
Yeah.
And so that, yeah. So yeah. I see a lot of that right now. But yeah, some more stuff is coming out about what happened and everything. And so we'll see how it plays out. I do not expect him to be on the field this weekend against Mississippi State. Kirby cannot do that. But I don't know what's the long-term ramification. But what I said again, another damn Bulldog got arrested.
Yeah.
Another damn Bulldog got arrested.
And honestly, my first thought was, don't be in a car. Then I read the headline. I'm like, maybe you would have been better just speeding.
Me and you both said the same thing. Please don't be another damn speeding. And you saw that like, well, damn.
It would have been better reckless driving for the look of the program. But there you go. All right, let's continue talking the other kind of football, the NFL. Let's hit a No Huddle. No Huddle brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. I think we have to reset it once more. It's been rocking with Pat McAfee all morning, and pretty much everyone's rolling through it on social media. But the Jets did fire head coach Robert Saleh today. He was 2-3 on the season after a trip to London. They've named defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, who was back in Cleveland, I think, when I was there.
Yeah, man.
That was the Mike Pettine years. It was Slim Pickens.
I love Jeff Ulbrich because if he doesn't take the Falcons job here, Roquan Smith goes to UCLA. And so once he took the job to come to Atlanta and be on Dan's staff, Roquan flipped his commitment on signing day and came to Georgia. So
really?
Yeah, he was going to UCLA.
Can I ask, like, what? Is that because Ulbrich at UCLA?
Yes, yes, okay, yeah, okay. He was going to UCLA, and then
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so obviously, but
heck
no,
of a player to get.
He's a he's one of those coaches that probably gets some consideration for head coaching jobs and everything. There was no way in hell they were going to let the offensive coordinator be the damn interim head coach. That wasn't going to happen.
We've seen Hackett as a head coach. Not a great look.
And I talked about it. I mean, it's the weird part about it is usually when a side of the ball is struggling and the head coach is not that play call or whatever.
Normally given the opportunity to fire a coordinator before you
get
fired.
Exactly.
And they just skip that step.
They skip that whole step. And
I wonder
like,
why.
I don't wonder
why. I know why. But yeah. I wonder why.
Yeah, and so it was it's messed up. Now, he didn't have the best record in the world. Let's not get it twisted and everything like that. Joe Douglas, all of them are on the hot seat. And now you might get that new coach energy this Monday night or whatever, but I don't.
If you have new coach energy with same old quarterback play, it ain't going to matter.
It ain't going to matter. It really isn't going to matter. I expect the defense to still play good and everything, but they're asking Aaron to do things right now that he used to do back when he was,
a young, spry chap.
The MVP guy. So we'll see how it goes.
That was 2 years ago.
We'll see how it goes.
It was Achilles injury between
How's it not offense? How is Breece Hall not touching the football? How is he? I don't know.
By the way, two things can be true. Like, Aaron Rodgers can be playing poorly and holding the offense down. Nathaniel Hackett maybe as well. And Robert Saleh could be a bad head coach.
Yeah, it could be.
Because it's not just right now that we've had questions about Robert Saleh. I mean, that's not new.
No.
His first 5 or 6 games there, you're like, what is this guy doing?
Yeah, man. It was really
bad. So
it's
not just the Rodgers thing. There's more to that, obviously. Atlanta Falcons maybe getting some good news here. Raheem Morris talked about one player on this team that already has a knack for forcing turnovers.
He doesn't just want the football, he needs it. And when he's out there on the grass, you just better believe he's always searching for it, whether it's a pass, whether you're running with the football, whether he's willing to sacrifice his body to get the football. He's just all about the ball and going after it at all points and at all times, because that's just what he's made of, and it's who he is and what he's from. It's from his cloth.
He's a two-down linebacker.
So that discussion was about Jesse Bates.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said Nick Lehman.
Well,
no.
that was my point. Like, I feel like a lot of the things he said about Bates there in that moment also would be applied to Nate Lehman, who's eligible to return. Yeah. He opened up his 21-day practice window from the IR.
Well, I think that when you look at how they're playing in that back, I mean, Jesse he's an unbelievable player. He is definitely, in my opinion, one of the front runners for defensive player of the year in the NFL. He's just been outstanding. And now, they're playing that too high shell. They had to come out of it a little bit in the previous game because of the way Tampa was running the football. But he's been a great addition. He's always been a really good player. You just see it now more because he's here in Atlanta and you get an opportunity. It starts with his leadership. It starts with the fact that he's always, in position. If Jesse Bates doesn't make a place because you just make a better play than him, But he's always in the right position. He got to get, a little bit better open tackling, miss some open field tackles. But that's nitpicky to consider how good he's been. But getting Nate Lehman back will be big time for your run game because of the fact is that, that's what he does. That's why he stayed on the field a lot last year is because he's coming downhill and he is taking on guards and tackles. He's not no fair dodging. He's running through your face to try and get to the football. And the 21-day window's open doesn't mean that he'll be back this week. But, in fact, that they're trying to find a way to get him back out there. Still don't know the status on Troy and Troy Anderson, but hopefully sometime this week we'll get a chance to see what's going on with him.
Monday Night Football, the Chiefs beat the Saints 26-13. They go to 5-0. The Saints fall to 2-3. I found this one interesting here, Randy. I don't know if I would have booked him as the next quarterback after Kirk Cousins to reach this mark. Remember, Kirk Cousins hit 40,000 career yards earlier this season. Derek Carr last night, 40,000.
Derek's put up 4,000 yards.
It would not have dawned on me that he was that close to Kirk Cousins over the course of their careers.
Yeah, Kirk. I mean, Derek Carr's put up some numbers.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, they haven't equated to a lot of wins.
No,
but he has put up some numbers and everything like that. And he's out with the oblique. He said it doesn't look good. I don't know what that means necessarily because they played the Bucks on Sunday. But yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, you get the oblique over there. They put some little numbing spray on that area. They pull out a big old needle.
If you say so.
On the count of three.
If you say so.
Just give me 3 hours. That's it. They find that area between
them. They didn't find that needle for Taysom Hill.
Find that area between them ribs. Yeah, there you go.
All right. We got a couple of quarterback battles going on. Look, in Cleveland, it's not really a quarterback battle. Kevin Stefanski is not going to make a change. He maybe should.
He can't.
Yeah, I know. I get it. But he probably should. The Raiders. Antonio Pierce is still evaluating Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew. Probably doesn't matter. They're going to have a new quarterback there next year. Still a little bit of question whether or not Bryce Young makes a return or if we're going to see Andy Dalton this week. But the interesting one for me is there in Indianapolis. If Anthony Richardson is healthy, what is the plan for them? Shane Steichen had an answer.
Yes, he is our starting quarterback.
There it is.
We're trying to win football games. That's the bottom line. We're trying to win football games. And when Anthony's out there, obviously he makes a lot of big plays for us. And that's where it's at.
Yeah. I mean,
sure, man.
All right.
Whatever you say.
Whatever you believe.
Whatever
you say. Steelers coach Mike Tomlin said that Russell Wilson is scheduled to be a full participant in practice tomorrow. He will get reps with the second team and not disrupt Justin's preparation. So like Justin's going to continue to be the starter.
If they lose another one, they might take a look at it. They might take a look at it. That's the NFL No Huddle. When we come back, though, we're going to stick with the NFL. We got the records now through the first 5 weeks. I'm interested to see how you feel about where some of these teams fall and what it might mean. I'm more interested at the back end of this. Some of the teams that are 1-4, 1-3, 2-3, if they're still contenders or not. That's coming on the other side. It's the Midday Show. Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker alongside Randy Mack on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in, 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show. Andy and Randy, it's Abe Gordon filling in for Andy Bunker today. Bunk is going to be back tomorrow. He's been out along with his family supporting in the recovery of Hurricane Helene. 92.9 The Game is also teaming with support now for the Helene Assist to help those impacted by Hurricane Helene. Join us in supporting the Haywood Schools Foundation by donating today. Any amount matters. We're almost three quarters of the way to the overall goal. You can head over to 92.9thegame.com and please give what you can. Again, there's just a red banner right up top on the website. You can't miss it. And it's pretty simple. It's pretty easy. I donated a couple nights ago. There you go. So Bunk will be back tomorrow.
Or you can do and I know they greatly appreciate it. All those people up there, and Bunk talked about it, and we know how his wife and how he feels about that area. So yeah, we appreciate everything. I know he does. I know his family does. And it still can go on even after the goal of the $10,000. And I'm pretty sure they're close to it right now. But I'm sure later on today, Bunk will give some updates. And just like Abe said, obviously he'll talk more about it tomorrow when he gets back.
I have a couple more questions about this Aaron Rodgers, Robert Saleh stuff. You mentioned that previously London had been a kiss of death for some coaches, and that's fine.
It used to be. Wasn't Mike Smith fired?
I had to go back. Ooh, was that a Jaguar game?
Was that? No, I don't know. I can't remember. Was Mike Smith fired?
I don't want to. I don't recall. I'm sure Squid Billy, if he's awake, will text me about it. But That used to be because you had to buy after the London trip. They don't have a buy anymore.
No.
Just separate of this situation, how do you think you would have dealt with coming back and immediately having to play again?
What do you mean?
As opposed to having the off week.
Oh, that's what it is, man. I think now, because when they used to have the London games, teams would go over there for the whole week. And now they don't do that. They get back over probably a Thursday or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the pain in the ass is always the travel aspect of it and everything like that. And it's a 5-6 hour flight over there and back. And you know, you get back, and it's not a lot of difference between that and then coming from a West Coast game on a Sunday. So I mean, that part about it, whatever. I think that. That at this part of this time of year, you're trying to just do everything you can to stay as, you know, because the biggest thing you got to do during the season, Abe, and a lot of players don't do this, is you got to work out a lot during the season. It's lifting weights and all those different things.
You mean during the week?
During the week, during the week. If you can keep that routine going throughout, because you're going to be tired and you're going to do it, but the more you can keep your body in shape as possible, the week off, it don't make a difference. It don't make a difference.
Wonder what the farthest team west to have played overseas is.
Well, no, the Chargers played there. The
Chargers played in
London?
In London?
Yeah.
Because that's not a 6-hour flight anymore.
No, but what they try to usually do is that they'd like to have them on an East Coast game.
Play like at the Giants.
And then they'll leave from there.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Them going directly from, I don't think any team has went directly from. Okay. I think most of them, the West Coast team that play overseas, usually have a game on the East Coast.
And then the other question I had about this Robert Saleh firing by the Jets, and again, it's not even necessarily about this story in the moment, but like NFL Network still got a banner of breaking news. I mean, this happened at like 10?
Well, I mean, it's still an NFL head coach being fired.
9:50?
It's still an NFL coach being fired. Abe, it's still breaking news.
I know it's big news. Yeah, it's still, like three and a half hours deep.
It's still breaking. Well, maybe nobody's watched the show. Maybe it might be the first time. I mean, you're more into this media thing than I am.
Yeah, that's true.
And so you would probably know more than me, but I think it is a big deal when the head coach of Aaron Rodgers' team
I'm not saying it's not a big deal. When does it stop becoming breaking news?
Probably 2:00.
Like the 6 p.m. Sports Center is not going to throw up a breaking news banner, right?
No, but they'll probably lead the show with it.
The graphic will say big changes in New York or something and you know, blabber about that. This hour of the Midday Show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It was somewhat of a working vacation for Bo Johnson yesterday as well, and he rejoins the program now, and we welcome him in with the back page.
Okay, what time
is it? The wrong time? Yeah, oh, I'm a segment ahead.
This is the guy that always talking about read the rundown.
I wrote this whole segment up.
And know everything, and they never wrong about nothing. And
I've
forgot
never said
a
I'm never
whole,
wrong.
How you forget
you
a
almost
whole
got me slipping, bro.
Damn. How you forget a well, whole damn – like a whole,
and here's
not even,
the thing.
No, not even halfway through it. This dude missed the whole damn segment.
Yeah.
You still nervous?
No. I haven't been nervous at all until now.
You still nervous?
Here's the funny thing. I didn't even realize I was a segment off until I saw Bo panic when I called for it. When I saw him panic, I'm like, well, surely he would have been ready for this.
Bo's always ready.
I know.
Hey, I was like, dude, this guy here
And so when he wasn't ready, I'm like, well, where did I screw up? Because I knew immediately it wasn't on him. I knew it was immediately on me.
Yeah, you jump in the
all
gun
right. Well, I had this whole segment. I was kind of excited to talk about it. Now I'm a little worried about it. Okay, 5 weeks in. Week 5 of the NFL. There's been a couple teams that had a bye. I had to wait until after Monday Night Football to get the full picture. But we have the records of all these teams. And do you feel before we even get to the records and discussion here, do you feel 5 weeks in is a fair sample size or is it still too small? And I'm not saying what a team is now is what they'll be in week 18, but do you feel like you've gotten a decent read on most of the teams in the NFL?
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, I don't know who's a very good football team. I know there's some good teams. I don't know who. I mean, I know the Vikings are 5-0 and the Chiefs are 5-0, but I don't know who's a very good football team. I know who are very bad football teams.
So I want to start there, and maybe we work our way back up. Let's start at 3-2 because that's where the Falcons are. 3-2 to me just feels like it's chock full of teams that are contending. Not maybe for a Super Bowl, but like they're close to playoff or playoff quality teams. And in that 3-2, you got the Falcons, the Ravens, the Bills, the Seahawks, the Steelers, surprising the Broncos, the Bucks, the Cowboys, the Packers, and the Bears. Like, that just feels like most of those I don't have an issue with if you told me at the end of the year they make the playoffs.
Exactly. I don't know what the Bears are. I damn sure don't know what the Broncos are. I know they won games and everything, but yeah, I don't see them as a team down there. The Steelers, Steelers, who knows? We know their quarterback situation.
They're good, not great.
I'm falling out of love with the Seahawks, and the Bills seems like, you know, the void of a playmaker is finally starting to show up for them.
I want to go, and I only went there because that's where the Falcons are. I want to go beneath that, though. Let's go all the way to the bottom. There are no, by the way, every team in the NFL has won at least one game this year. So you got six teams here at 1-4, and a couple of real surprises.
The Bengals are definitely a surprise, but are you surprised because they were without their playmakers for a long time? Joe Burrow looked absolutely great. Their defense just can't stop anybody. The Browns, not surprised. The Patriots, not surprised. The Rams, injuries. Jaguars, I'm surprised, but not surprised because it's damn Jacksonville, and then definitely the Panthers.
The only ones I would have thought, like, at this point, would have been Patriots and Panthers. Like, the Jaguars are good enough to where they should have more than one win. The Bengals, I think Joe Burrow is supposed to elevate you enough. You had Jamar Chase.
Dude, he elevating, boy, but the defense can't hang, you know, is the thing.
The Rams, yeah, the injury, yes, but, like, they keep throwing Stafford in our faces. And I have nothing wrong with Matt Stafford, but, like, can we stop, like, well, they got Matt Stafford, he gives them a chance. Apparently not.
Hell, because they are just a beat-up-ass football team.
And the Browns entered the season as co-competitors with the Ravens.
Who said that?
There were people.
Because
they thought maybe Deshaun would be better.
Why?
I don't know. Why?
The dude is who he is, man.
Do you think he's still hurt, like, from the shoulder stuff?
No, he's just playing bad. He's playing bad.
I'll tell you one that I'm not surprised they're 1-3, but it didn't have to be this way, is the Tennessee Titans.
I never knew what to make of the Tennessee Titans.
That's a good football team with a terrible quarterback.
What's good about their football team?
I think they're loaded on offense.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
I think with Hopkins and with Ridley and I'm blanking on Burks.
Uh-huh.
I think they got a pretty good core there. I think they can run the ball. I know they got rid of Derrick Henry. Just they traded for LeJarius Sneed in the offseason.
Good player. My initial
Will Levis is an absolute killer. There's no way around it.
He gives away teams, and now you're in this. He can't lose games. I mean, you can lose games, but you as a quarterback can't give away the games the way he has been giving away the game. And so, but I still coming into the season never really had any expectations on the Titans because I didn't know a lot about their head coach. I love me some Rand. That's my man, the GM. But I just didn't know what they were going to do as far as because I don't know what Will Levis is going to be. Yeah. Now I see what Will Levis is. Will Levis is a walking damn disaster.
They felt like out of all the 32 teams in the NFL, they felt like the one true wild card. Like if you told me they were going to compete for the AFC, I would have believed you. And if you told me that they're going to be competing.
I would have never believed that the Titans were going to compete for the AFC.
I thought they're that good.
No.
Just the quarterback.
He's
terrible.
Wasn't there because of them.
You got a couple teams at 2-3 that I think were contenders for their conference, and that's the 49ers and the Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins you can explain away a little bit by the Tua thing.
That's exactly what it is. And then they got hurt again. I mean, they just got their pass rushers back, and then Jaden goes out again with the ACL. They got some issues. But, I mean, we talked about it yesterday with the Dolphins. You got to find a way to get as many wins you can to Tua gets back. And I'm not saying that Tua is going to be the savior.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say he's going to be the savior, but I think your offense will probably look better.
You think he's back this year?
Yes. Yeah. As soon as they can let him play, he's going to play.
I don't know when that's going to be.
He's already cleared protocol.
Then why isn't he playing?
Because he's on IR. He's missed four games.
Is that it? Boy.
He's going to play.
The tough thing is, like we did a couple seasons ago when he went through it pretty badly, is you just watch and like.
Every time he goes down.
I'm not a Dolphins fan. I have no real allegiances there. But like every time he takes a bump, you're just like, is he all right? Like, what's going on?
Every single time. But when he's out, when he's able to come off of IR, he's coming. He's going to play.
Okay. Yeah. And what's going on with the Niners?
I know they're injured. They're playing.
Brock Purdy losing $40 million right now?
I don't know, because Brock, I mean, they're just – they blew another lead, which is crazy. The guys are playing. They're just still like – I don't think everybody's at 100% right now. And a lot of times when you have these deep runs like they've had these last couple of years, man, eventually it takes its toll on you. And you see these guys going down. Brandon Ayuk, I mean, I know he held out. He ain't playing like a number one receiver. A lot of people projected him to be. Debo's in our lineup. The biggest thing with me is, you know, I know we always talk about in this system, you know, a running back and you can plug a guy in and everything like that. They miss Christian McCaffrey. All right, you can't just take the offensive player of the year out of the lineup and think he won't miss. Yeah, you might have some good games without him and everything like that, but this dude is that dude is the engine of that whole entire team, and him being out.
There's some real concern about his timeline.
Ain't no telling where when he'll be back. Whatever, when they're talking about the what do you got? Both tendonitis, both Achilles.
Both. It gets it's worse in one than the other. Yeah. We mentioned the Vikings at 5-0. It's tough to really stand behind them as that squad.
Right.
I understand that. Probably equally surprising is the Washington Commanders at 4-1.
Yeah, man. They got a quarterback that's playing really good, and they're playing good around him. They have all the confidence in the world in this young man. And I think, you know, Cliff Kingsbury coming in, it was a big thing. I know I heard somebody say it on TV the other day, having Anthony Lynn coming in here as a coach working with that run game. I think they lead the league in rushing touchdowns. So, I mean, they're doing everything, and the young kid is playing well. He's playing within himself. And then that defense is trying to make some things happen also. And so
we're going
to
find out on Sunday,
though. We'll see how it goes, because, I mean, they got Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, where's it? I mean, because it don't matter, because, hell, they're right there next to each other.
I think it's in Baltimore.
But I think that, you know, it's going to be a big test for them, both teams. I think it'll be a big test for both of them. Because, you know, Baltimore have seemed to figure out the recipe that they want to run. Let's run it old school with Derrick Henry, and let's let Lamar be Lamar. And Lamar, the way he threw that ball last weekend in Cincinnati, after Cincinnati made it a point to shut down that run game, if they play like this, man, they're going to be hard to beat.
They made it a
they're
point
be
all the
hard
way
to beat.
Until overtime.
Yeah, they're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, when we come back, we'll actually get to back. Do you have it loaded this time, Bo? You're all set? You're good? Okay, perfect. We'll get to the back page this time for Realsies on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Midday Show, Andy and Randy. Abe Gordon here filling in for Andy Bunker. He will make his return tomorrow and for the rest of the week. NBA, their official NBA account just tweeted out I almost said Summer League. We're actually at preseason now, aren't we? Their preseason schedule, and they're highlighting Zach Risacher.
There we go.
They're highlighting the Atlanta Hawks. They got five games today on their schedule. Only one of them is on NBA TV nationally. And it's the Atlanta Hawks.
There it is, right there. So you get your opportunity to get to see the young kid. Interesting that, you know, I don't – like, if he's going to back up Jaylen, so they look at him more in today's basketball game as a four or whatever. But, this kid has to do something to give this team I won't say any chance, but this team has to get something out of this young kid. And I'm not saying 20 and 10 or something like that. But you gotta make, especially the people that love the Hawks and everything, that we cover them. So obviously we want them to do well. But the people that are watching this, because it was the coincidence that the Hawks got the number one pick. And then the other French guy didn't want to come here. And then you get this kid right here. He needs to be good, man. He does.
I was talking to someone, man, I don't remember where it was. It might have been at Topgolf the other day. Alex Saar went 0-17 in a summer league game, man.
Okay. Yeah,
like that's some wild numbers.
That's pretty bad.
Like 0-17. Like Bronny got a point.
That's pretty bad right there.
Maybe he didn't. I don't know. Another question I had for you, Randy, because we talked about it a little while ago. It was a little cool this morning. 55 degrees when I went out for a run. In general, it warms up throughout the day. When do you turn the heat on for the first time?
I don't turn the heat on. I let her do that.
When does it get turned on?
I don't know. It's not really a specific day. I think when it's cold the whole day, that might be that might be the time. But yeah, I'm not the one to turn on the heat. She'll turn it on every now and then. But It still has to be the same temperature in my bedroom. I cannot stand the warm. I like cold and dark when I sleep at night. And so
when you say cold, are we like 64, 65, or where, like 68, 69?
In the upstairs, like because the baby's room is upstairs too, so you want to freeze his little ass out. But I gotta keep it in when it's cold at least on 70.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, at least on 70. But that's
now when I get to hotels,
yeah, I don't want to freeze the little man out.
Hotel temperature, I put it as cold as they'll let it go.
Yeah, me too.
And they normally cap it at like 65, which is frustrating.
I got a question for you.
What's
did
that?
You say for realsy?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure my ears work. You know, my eardrums. You know, Abe, you come in with a different volume than Andy.
Yeah, man.
So my eardrums have been taking some shock this week, these 2 days.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You did say for realsy, right?
Yeah, for realsy. We're going to do the back page for realsy.
All right, I'm just making
you
sure.
You want to do it?
I mean, hell, I'd do anything not to get you to say that damn word again.
Let's get to it. What's going on, Bo?
Now we're ready. So, first off, when I walked outside this morning, it was cold outside.
Yeah.
It ain't no fall weather, ain't no cold.
It was not cold.
Yeah,
it was 55.
It's not that bad.
55 was cold.
It
below 60.
Great to run in. I'll tell you
that
much.
Bad.
I disagree wholeheartedly. So before I get into some fun football stuff from Monday Night Football, there was a couple things, yes, that I could bring out of this football game last night. So if I had to give you an Abe, I think you already know the answer to this one, at least as it pertains to me, but Rainer and Michael, as it pertains to Diamond Sports, what's the worst way, just off the cuff, the worst way you can think of to lose a game, baseball or softball?
The worst way to lose? A damn umpire screwing you up.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, the umpire screwing you up.
Because we see that all the time.
Yeah.
I was going to say a walk-off balk.
Yeah.
Walk-off balk, that's a good one.
Yeah.
How about losing a game in which you no-hit the other team?
How the hell does that happen?
I've seen it done.
Especially if we're talking about the 10U Lady Blue Devils.
We are, man.
Yeah.
We go into Saturday's game versus Buford, who beat us the first game of the season. Go into there 5-1. Congratulations to our little pitcher, Sophia Hollywood Harrell, on the mound. No hit the Buford Wolves, but we lost the game 4-0.
You know
I'm just not like
pass
at this
balls,
age level.
Pass
it's just,
balls,
it's
everything.
Walks, box, and then stolen bases.
They do box at that level?
Not balks.
Walk,
they
walk.
Will do illegal
balks.
Pitches.
They will do illegal pitches.
I thought you said box.
That just
I saw one of
balls.
Those. I saw one of those.
Okay.
You rebounded on Sunday, though.
Are very frustrating.
I heard you rebounded.
We did rebound on Sunday as Juice Johnson takes the mound against DeCula. We won that one, I think, 9-3.
Get you some, DeCula.
Juice goes 3 innings, 4 more strikeouts.
Get you some.
That's 24 strikeouts out of 13 innings pitched.
There you go, my girl.
For Juice Johnson,
there you go, my girl. There you go. Pop time and.
We did turn it around. Record on the season, 6-2. And then a special shout out. That's where I was absent yesterday. I was out at the Brian Jordan Foundation Golf Tournament. Shout out to BJ for putting on a great event. And shout out to my guy Brian Lawrence, former pitcher for the San Diego Padres. He's our celebrity that we played with yesterday. He's actually in Tampa, lives in Tampa, trying to decide what he's going to do as Tampa's about to get freaking ravaged.
It's a shame that you see that coming through and everything, and it seems like they're in the direct path of this hurricane
right
that's coming
Tampa,
through. So hopefully, you know, it's not as bad as sometimes. But I mean, we talked about it yesterday, Bo. I've been through these things. They are a scary situation, man. They really, really are.
So Monday Night Football, there were some fun things that were happening, even if you were a Saints fan. So we all love big man doing big things in football games, especially when one gets an interception. So there's a couple different perspectives that I'm going to play for you for Kalen Saunders' interception as he picked off his former teammate Pat Mahomes. So here's the TV call. So Kalen Saunders has a brother named Cameron, who used to be a backup dancer for Taylor Swift, or still is a backup dancer for Taylor Swift. And as soon as Joe Buck starts talking about Cameron Saunders, Kalen wasn't having any of that.
Going to say it again. Colin Saunders' brother Cameron, who went to UMKC, Missouri, Kansas City, is a backup dancer for Taylor Swift on the Eras Tour. Colin was asked, who is Cameron rooting for? He said, that's his boss. I'm his brother. I was here first. Smith-Schuster, and there he is, Colin Saunders.
And he took it out.
Big Colin rumbling.
Big man rumbling down the field, brings it out of the end zone.
First of all, that was a hell of a pick by the big dude. Juju got
really
to catch the damn ball.
Yeah.
So the dude, the big boy, is the brother of the dancer for Taylor.
The backup dancer. Yeah, he's almost as big.
Really?
One of them, like, Colin Sanders is incredibly athletic. He's out on the field.
You saw the way he ran when he got the ball. Yeah. How he was toting it.
15.7 miles an hour.
Big man,
rumbling.
Third fastest ever.
Big man was picking him up and putting him down.
Third fastest ever by a guy who weighs over 320.
Now, a pure treat is Kevin Harlan. And if you were listening to the game on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, here's the call that you got to hear about this play.
There's the shotgun snap, the fake handoff, the quick throw at the goal line is deflected and it's intercepted on the play by Saunders. He runs the big man, the 10, near sideline 20. The former Chief is taken down.
Oh,
the Saints big man got it on the ricochet at the goal line on a pass intended for Smith-Schuster. That was a thick pick.
A thick pick.
Too bad he didn't go take it all the way, so it could have been called a thick six.
Yeah, man.
But a thick pick there by a great call there by Kevin Harlan.
First of all, like, Juju got to catch the ball. But yep. I love the play by the big man because he did catch. It seemed like caught
one
hand.
Yeah, one hand.
And then picked him up and had enough awareness to pick him up and put it in my thing. And it's been like this for years. I've been in plenty of positions where I was chasing somebody after an interception. Just tackle a guy. Like, everybody be trying to hit the ball and everything. Like, just tackle his big ass. I know it's going to hurt if he lands on you because they usually, when you grab him, Bo, they'll turn sideways and they'll fall on you. But just
with,
you
know, momentum, too,
yeah,
man?
It hurts.
Oh,
man.
You know that's,
oh, yeah,
it hurts.
It does hurt. But just get him down. Get him down.
So this is here's one off of the Manning cast. This was not this particular play. This was just a really strange conversation they were having with Archie Manning as he was discussing which of the Manning boys weighed more when they were born.
Speaking of being born, Dad, I mean, you know, Cooper was 12 pounds, 3 ounces at birth. I was 12 pounds, 1 ounce. Eli was only 10. Are y'all concerned something was wrong with him?
Yeah, we kept him in the hospital a few days. We thought maybe there was something wrong. The word was, the doctor said actually they weighed him after he was circumcised.
I don't know.
There you go. There you go. You said it,
really,
Dad, not
man,
me.
Really,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Come on.
Well,
I
mean, I think their mom is Miss Olivia. I think that's her name, Miss Olivia. I mean, thinking about them big ass heads. I mean, Peyton had to be 12 pounds because he was like, he had to be like 6 pounds ahead.
12 pounds and top heavy.
You know what I mean, like that. But yeah, great job by Arch. Eli is the baby, defending the baby boy and everything like that. But that's kind of
he then later
awkward.
Grounded his son. So there's
He grounded his son.
Yeah, on national TV, he grounded Eli.
Yeah, right.
So I'm sure y'all talked about all of the phenomenal upsets in college football over the weekend, especially, Alabama losing to Vanderbilt. I will still stand by the fact that Georgia State beat Vanderbilt, so we should be ranked number one this week. But that's neither here nor there. Here's Stephen A. Smith absolutely jumping all over Kalen DeBoer.
I'm ashamed. You will not hear the words "Roll Tide" in an affectionate manner from me for the rest of this season. It was an embarrassment. It was disgusting. Those players should have bags over their heads walking around campus all week long. They should be ashamed of their damn selves. And Kalen DeBoer, it's fair to say this. You've won 90% of your games as a head coach at four different institutions, including winning two NAIA titles. If I remember correctly, you win the national championship game. You are back-to-back Pac-12 Coach of the Year when you were at Washington as well. You are no Nick Saban.
Ouch.
Nobody knows that. I think. All right, yeah, it was a bad loss. It really, really was. It was. It was a bad loss, losing to Vanderbilt and everything. But, I mean, they're still in the thick of it and everything like that. I still think Bama has just as good a chance as anybody to win a national championship. But the one yesterday from the damn Feinbaum show, those were the funniest one, Bo. If you can find one, I forgot his name.
Legend.
That guy. Dude. And me and Abe were just talking. And I just – and sometimes I sit back and because, you know, I'm I always ask myself this, is this fake or is this real? And that is so real. Like, these people, they be calling in that man's show, they're seriously serious. And you're like, and I sit back and I heard this dude, they played him, and I was like, he's dead ass serious. Like, sleeping with your woman and all this stuff. So I said, it's a damn football game, bruh. At the end of the damn day, it's a damn football game.
It is.
It's a football game that you had no impact on the outcome.
Mad.
But yet you do it. Something wrong with that. I don't want to say something. I mean, every Alabama fan I've ever met personally that didn't play there have been really nice, been really cool. But them fools down there poisoning trees and all that other stuff, doing it for Alabama, Them the ones that be calling the Fine Bomb Show.
Yeah.
Them the ones. That be, yeah, let me go poison Tumor's corner because I'm mad. Like.
I happened to actually be at the WWE pay-per-view that was in town over the weekend, Bad Blood, and I was watching that phone. I was there with Mark Owens watching that game on our phones, and yeah, man, people were shocked.
I was across the street at Mercedes-Benz watching it on my phone, so there you go. All right, Bo, appreciate it. As always, that is the back page. When we come back, we will start hour number three here on the Midday Show. Brandon Adams, BA, going to join us at 1:20. Chat a little about the Bulldogs here and maybe a little bit of the rest of the SEC as well. But coming up first, the most important story of the day, that's coming on the other side, the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.